Hello friends, this is Soumendra Naik once again, and I bring before you another session on rural dynamics. So friends, when we are discussing about other major sectors relating to the rural economy, after agriculture, horticulture, livestock products and rural industrial sectors are the next important sectors in the rural economy. This sector contributes to the rural economy as well as to the national economy in a big way. The rural industries provide very many employment opportunities where there are multiple avenues of employment, where it engages the rural masses both in the skilled as well as unskilled labors. Coming to the rural industrial sector, which provides the maximum support to agriculture by way of supplying its inputs and industrial services, it also encourages the growth of agricultural production by providing a widespread effective market opportunity. The rural industrial sector caters to towns and the cities which are in the proximity of those rural areas. Not only that, it also caters in a big way to those export markets where actually these rural people are earning a lot of revenues from exporting their products to those markets which are out of India but have a great demand for their goods. The rural industries refer to a host of industries which would include not only the traditional handicraft or artisan crafts made by the rural skilled personals, but it also engages the people into very many kinds of avenues like the agro-based industries, the processing industries, the light engineering industries, consumer goods and producing industries. And these industries may cater to the needs of the locality. It may cater to the locality nearby. It also caters to the locality which is in the nearby cities, in the nearby urban areas, and even to the across the country at various other states. So these industries will also cater to the rural people or outside urban and foreign people as well. These industries may also be of small scale or medium scale enterprise, but these are very well organized in the modern lines. The rural industries, which are the subsectors if we talk about, the traditional industries, what we have since the ages of independence are the khadi industries, the coir industries, the village handloom industries, people involved into sericulture, apiculture, where actually they rear the honeybees to get more honeys, and various other industries like poultry farming and various other livestock industries. But when we talk about the modern small-scale industries, people are mostly organized very well into small-scale and medium-scale enterprises. For example, the power looms and various such industries which are coming up nowadays. These are some of the pictures which shows the modern power loom as well as the weaving industry and even the women who are engaged in the sericulture for rearing silkworms. We go by the definitions of rural industry. How can we define the various parameters? So this has to be somewhat located in the rural areas away from the cities. They have to be utilized should utilize the maximum available local labors or natural resources available in those local areas. As a result, they contribute to the growth of employment as well as all other income to the rural masses of those particular areas. The government of India was very much focused on the rural industry right from the first 5-year plan, where they have defined it very well. A program of village industries, it has to be supported by specific measures of assistance as well as by appropriate state policy. In addition to the emphasis on technical improvement, research and other measures for improving efficiency, the primary objective of the policy should be there to provide a field within which each cottage industry may be able to organize itself. As per the Article 43 of the Indian Constitution, which refers to the directive principles of state policy, the state shall endeavor to promote cottage industries on an individual or cooperate on a cooperative basis in rural areas. According to these principles, the Government of India has been undertaking several measures from time to time on the basis of experience gained to meet new challenges confronting the industries. So what we can see from this slide is like the contribution of khadi industries, which once upon a time even before pre-independence and during the independence and post-independence era, was contributing as one of the major contributors to the entire rural industry, has gone down to some extent. During the 90s, if we talk about it, the khadi industries has dipped slightly, and due to this, actually it has also has an impact upon the kind of employment that it has generated over the years. If we talk about some absolute numbers, in the year 1992-93, when the total village industry was about 2876 crore, and out of that khadi industry was about 353 crore. But coming down after a decade, in the year 2000 and 2001, if we talk about the numbers again, that when the total industry has grown till 7211 crore, which has almost like grown more than 3.5 times. So then the khadi contribution was a very meager one, about just 605 crore. So this shows like the industry has degrown over the years, and it also has a very significant impact upon the kind of employment that it used to generate at one point of time. So what has happened, if we talk about the number of people employed among in the rural industry, we see almost like the total about 52 lakh people once upon a time used to be employed in the total rural sector across all the industries in the year 1992-93, whereas it has grown up till 62 lakh people in the year 2000-2001. But what has happened in the khadi industry? Khadi industry, which was employing about 14.5 lakh people by the year 1992-93, has degrown, and now in the year 2000 and 2001 it used to employ about 12.5 lakh people. So that was the kind of degrowth. So this degrowth in the khadi industry speaks about two things. One is that the overall industry has grown, and that has grown on the ride taken by the other industry apart from khadi. The second thing is that even if there is a great potential for the khadi industry to grow, it has degrown. So this has actually compelled the government and all the think tanks to significantly focus on the khadi industry, by which actually they have come up with several schemes in the last one decade, or maybe last 10 to 15 years. So the production in small scale industry, if we talk about handlooms, we talk about handicraft sector, it has increased significantly. Whereas the production in khadi has the production has remained almost stable or has slightly dipped. It is thus more emphasis is needed now on the village industries, particularly khadi, the coir industry, the fiber industry, raw silk, and various other industries, which has a great potential to grow the rural economy of the country. The employment opportunity in khadi as well as coir industry is declining for the entrepreneurs, although there is enough scope for the development of such industry. Only thing is, we have to pay more focus onto that, and we have to invest and wait with patience for this industry to develop at their own sustainability efforts. The government is required to create appropriate conditions for the growth of the said rural industries in India in order to extend the employment opportunities to rural people in general and rural unemployed youths in particular. The latest news is that the government has set to make khadi a zero effect, zero defect global product, and the branding has been astounding. If we go anywhere from the railway stations in few of Indian railway stations, even to the airport in airport like Mumbai International Airport, we still have a very big khadi branded store there. So this shows the importance and the focus that everybody is putting on khadi. The government has decided to harness solar energy to power charkhas, the spinning wheels, across the country to enable hand-spun khadi to become the zero carbon footprint green fabric of India. The field trial of the solar charkhas has already begun on a pilot basis in some pockets of India. So now, friends, we are going to talk about the micro, small and medium enterprise for the development of khadi, village and coir industries. The Market Promotion and Development Assistance Scheme has launched as a unified scheme by merging different schemes implemented by the khadi sector, including publicity, marketing, market promotion and market development activities together. Further, large grant or subsidy will also be available for the construction of khadi plazas to brand it properly and to reach out to the common people across all geographies in India. The overall objective of the scheme is to ensure increased earning for the artisans and help them realize the best price possible for them. Revamped scheme of fund for regeneration of traditional industries, normally called as SFURTI. What are the objectives of it? The objectives of this scheme is to organize the traditional industries and artisans into clusters in order to make them competitive and provide support for their long-term sustainability. To provide sustained employment for traditional industry artisans and rural entrepreneurs. It also has the objective to enhance the marketability of products of such clusters by providing support for new products, design intervention and improved packaging, and also the improvement of marketing infrastructure to more and more publicize it. The Coir Vikas Yojana. This Yojana had a wide range of activities like skill development of artisans. The Mahila Coir Yojana specially focused on the women folks of the rural community for modernization, upgradation and establishing a new unit under Coir Industry Technology Upgradation Scheme, primarily known as CITUS. It helps in promoting the domestic as well as export market. It provides the trade and industry related functional support services and for the welfare of Coir workers. The Coir Vikas Yojana components are Coir Industry Technology Upgradation Scheme, popularly known as CITUS or CITUS, the Science and Technology for Coir, the Skill Upgradation and Mahila Coir Yojana, popularly known as MCY, Export Market Promotion EMP, Domestic Market Promotion DMP, and Trade and Industry Related Functional Support Services TIRFSS, Welfare Measures Pradhan Mantri Suraksha Bima Yojana PMSBY. So now we are going to talk about another important segment in the textile industry, that is the power loom sector. In our country, power looms are a predominant segment in the entire textile value chain. According to a survey in the power loom sector carried out in the year 2013, there are more than 24 lakh power looms in the decentralized sector, out of which more than 1 lakh, that is roughly about 4.1%, are shutterless looms. If we talk about the difference between shutterless and shuttle looms, so shutterless looms are more costlier unit for establishment, but the earnings are quite high and the productivity is much more higher compared to the shuttle looms. It accounts for more than 57% of the total cloth production, just talking about the power loom sector. And this power loom sector provides an employment to nearly 45 lakh people. Around 60% of the fabrics and garments manufactured by power looms are meant for export, and only 40% is about domestic consumption. The power looms, hence being a very important sector, it has to be supported by various schemes. Hence, there are certain schemes looking into this sector, specially focusing for the support and finance of it. Looking into the various socio-economic problems faced by the power loom weavers and the low technology levels in the sector, the government has focused its attention on the development of power loom sector through multi-pronged schemes and interventions. PowerText India. This is a comprehensive scheme for power loom sector development. To address the felt needs of the power loom sector, the scheme includes solar energy scheme and Pradhan Mantri credit scheme for power loom weavers. PowerTechs India, the additional components include creating awareness and publicity of the Powerloom schemes, providing facilitation services, and integrating everything on an IT-enabled platform for online service access. Under the PowerTechs India scheme, the existing schemes of Group Worksheet Scheme, Common Facility Center, Yarn Bank, and in-situ upgradation of plain power looms have been rationalized and upgraded. A comprehensive scheme with all these features is now launched as the Comprehensive Scheme for Power Loom Sector Development. Now we are going to talk about another segment of the rural economy. This is the service sector. So one of the largest contributing sector among the rural economy, and it has its inlays into many other sectors as well. So let me talk about with examples. The rural service sector comprises of the rural roads, rural transportation, rural education, rural health, rural electrification, rural communication, and other services related to the rural area. So starting with the rural roads, the importance of roads is in general, and rural roads in particular, is very high as far as the progress of the country is concerned, because we are mostly dependent upon many fruits, vegetables, many agricultural produce which is being generated in the rural areas, and how they have to reach the urban areas, and even they have to go out of the country for the export, only depends upon if there are proper roads to transport them back to these sites. The rural roads in India are mostly constructed under various rural development programs. Besides the village panchayat, the PWD, etc. are also responsible for the expansion of rural roads facilities throughout the country. There is a growing empirical evidence that link transport investment to the overall improved well-being of the poor. The data very well depicts that there is inverse relationship between connectivity and poverty. The flagship program by Government of India, the Pradhan Mantri Gram Sadak Yojana. This was a program launched to connect each and every village of the entire nation. And this centrally sponsored scheme was introduced in the year 2000. It is a nationwide plan in India to provide good all-weather road connectivity to unconnected villages through all its rural hinterland. If we talk about the progress of rural road accessibility till launching of Pradhan Mantri Gram Sadak Yojana, and before that, since independence, almost since the first 5-year plan, we can see the percentage of villages in population which are above 1000 has grown almost 3 times. From 32 to the millennium year of 2000-2001 by up to 90%. So overall village accessibility has not grown by that extent. If we talk about the percentage or overall numbers, so it has grown from 20% in the year 1950-51 to 54% in the year 2000-2001. Average distance has now come down to almost 2 kilometers from a non-connected village from the 10 kilometer distance which used to be in the year 1950-51. Now talking about few numbers, out of 1.7 lakh habitations with a population of above 500 in the plains and above 250 in the hilly areas, we were planned to be connected by all weather roads. 82% were already connected by December 2017, and work in progress on the remaining 47,000 habitations was on track for completion by March 2019. The rural road transport, if we talk about, it is of great importance both for movement of passengers as well as for all the goods. It is ideally suitable for short and medium distances because of its inherent advantages such as easy availability and flexibility of operations, adaptability to individual needs, door-to-door service reliability and flexibility of operations. The goods transport in rural areas is mostly controlled by bullock carts, tractors, now trucks, mini trucks and other small transport operators, whereas the passenger services are provided both by public as well as private sector. The passenger transport vehicles in rural areas consist of buses, the trekkers, auto rickshaws and other small transport operators, mainly the three-wheelers and the four-wheelers. Now we are going to talk about a very important element of the rural industry in the service sector. This is about rural education. There was a startling survey which opened our eyes recently, and it showed that the number of rural students attending schools is rising, but more than half of the students in the fifth grade are unable to read a second grade textbook and are not able to solve simple mathematical problems. Not only this, the level of maths and reading is further declining. There are certain efforts which need to be taken up here. There are increasing number of single classrooms to educate students for more than one grade. This again is a matter of concern. So now the rural industry in the education sector, if we talk about, is into multiple dilemmas, and there are many concerns which are to be removed if we want to progress and bring in more and more students under the ambit of literacy. In some states, attendance of teachers and students is also declining. Quality and access to education is the major concern in rural schools, as there are fewer committed teachers, there are lack of textbook and lack of other learning materials, as well as lack of other infrastructure which actually is needed for the students to develop. The foundation to turn India into a strong nation has to be laid down at primary and rural levels, and so the quality of education right from the beginning should be excellent. The reasons behind so many dropouts in spite of free education should be found out, as this is a hurdle on the road to progress. If we talk about schools, what is happening is like there are the student-teacher ratio is very inappropriate. There are vacancies in the government sectors for running the schools, but there are no fulfillment of the teachers in those schools, and the proper infrastructure is missing in majority of the schools. We have to increase the number of schools in the rural areas to equip all the schools with proper and technology related aspects, and then we have to also focus on going beyond the books so that the students enrolling in those schools will have an overall view of this industry as well as the country and the world that is developing beyond their schools. So now we are going to talk about another very important sector of the rural economy. This sector is not just related to the business aspect or the revenue aspect of rural economy, even to the life essentiality of any human being. This is the health services sector. In India, if we talk about the health services sector, 75% of the health services infrastructure is concentrated mainly in the urban areas, where only 34% of the total Indian population reside. The rest of the 66% of the population of the nation who are into the rural areas do not have proper infrastructure for the health services. The rural healthcare in India is characterized by understaffed facilities with bad infrastructure and low availability of medicines. According to a report, 74% of the Indian doctors are catering to the needs of only the urban population. If we talk about the infrastructure, the biggest concern for the rural industry in the healthcare sector is the lack of adequate and proper scientific infrastructure. When we talk about the ratio of the doctor and the nurses in the rural sector, we see that the ratio is very poor. The doctor-nurse ratio in the rural economy is quite poor. The patient is not always treated on time in rural India, since the doctors are less in number. When we talk about the insurance part in the rural healthcare sector, here the insurance is something that is severely lacking in the healthcare. There are least number of medical insurance available in the rural sector, which is far, far less compared to the availability of even mobile phone in the rural sector. Affordability, this is a constraint since many people cannot afford the upmarket health services when they need to visit private hospitals. There is a lack of awareness among the healthcare personnels and among the poor who can access those healthcare facilities when it comes to the rural India. Lack of medical stores, insufficient numbers, and even if they are present, they do not have the required desired medicines which is needed at the time of emergency. So next topic, what we are talking about the rural economy is a very significant aspect. That's a rural electrification. Going by the definition, a village would be declared as electrified if it has the basic infrastructure such as distribution transformer, distribution lines, and they are provided in the inhabited locality. Electricity is provided to public places like schools, panchayat office, health centers. This is the second aspect of the declaring it as electrified. And the third aspect is like at least 10% of every household in that particular village out of the total households available, they should have the access to electricity. Government of India has launched the scheme Deen Dayal Upadhyay Gram Jyoti Yojana for rural electrification. Ministry of Power has sanctioned 921 projects to electrify 1,21,225 unelectrified villages. Intensive electrification of about 6 lakh partially electrified villages and provide free electricity connections to 397.45 lakh BPL rural households. As on 30th June 2015, works in 1,10,146 unelectrified villages and intensive electrification of 3,20,185 partially electrified villages have been achieved, and 220.63 lakh free electricity connections have been released to the BPL households who were in utmost need and has been living in the dark since the era of independence. Friends, we are now going to another aspect of the rural economy where we are going to talk about a sector called rural communication. So here the telecommunication and posts are the two most significant pillars what we can find in a modern communication system existing in the rural area and where the rural community has a proper access. Talking about the norms of opening a branch post office in rural areas, we have to define it by various parameters. First parameter is the population. In normal areas, about 3000 population in group of villages. In hilly or tribal or desert areas, it has to be an inaccessible and any other inaccessible areas, it has to be 500 population in an individual village or 1000 in a group of villages. When we talk about the distance parameter, in local areas, the minimum distance from the nearest existing post office will be at least 3 kilometers. The number of rural post offices in India has increased significantly from 30,800 in the year 1950-51 to 135,900 in the year 1994-95. During this growth phase, it has increased almost like 4.4 times during this entire period. Thereafter, the number of rural post office has almost remained steady or at the same level at about 139,000. When we talk about the telecommunication, India's telecommunication network is the second largest in the world by number of telephone users, considering both the fixed as well as the mobile users, with 1.183 billion subscribers as of 31st May 2019. It has one of the lowest call tariffs in the world, enabled by mega telecom operators and hyper competition among them. As on 31st July 2018, India has the world's second largest internet user base with 460.24 million broadband internet subscribers in the country. As of 31st December 2018, India had a population of 130 crore people 123 crore out of them were having Aadhaar digital biometric identification cards. 121 crore people in India had access or mobile phones of their own. About 44.6 crore smartphones were available, and about 56 crore, that is almost 43% of the total population, had internet and they were internet users. So friends, when we have come to the conclusion of this chapter, let me just summarize or enlist what all topics we have covered in this. So we started with the importance or significance of other industry other than the agriculture or allied sectors in the rural economy, and among them we talked about the handloom industry, the traditional industries, the powerloom industries and the service sectors. And we also spoke about the focus on each of these areas, where actually we need to improve our focus and what are the existing government schemes in these areas and how we can benefit out of that. Coming to the service sector, we touched upon the points of rural education, rural health, rural electrification and the availability or access of telecommunications, with the focus on post offices, on internet users and mobile phone users. So with all this summary, I want to conclude this chapter. Thank you very much for listening.